This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
According to new research, solo travelling remains popular and it's actually increasing in the number of people who are undertaking it. But is it safe? And how can we make it safe and still enjoyable at the same time? Well, Jess Lockhart is from Lonely Planet. Jess, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So how popular is solo travelling?
Oh, gosh. You know, I was just thinking today about different travel trends, and you see so many things pop up on TikTok and Instagram and things from, you know, these travel trends about like raw dogging on flights and not, you know, watching movies while you're on a plane. But I would say that solo travel isn't a trend. It's actually now a travel of category of travel that's definitely here to stay. So Flight Center has just put out some new data saying that solo travelers are now their largest category of travelers.
Oh, wow.
With 43% of the bookings that were made last year were just by travelers who were going it alone. And Webjet similarly says that nearly half of Australians are planning a solo adventure in the next 2 years.
That's good to hear, because I haven't done solo traveling for a long time. It's been a few years and I've got one planned later this year. And I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest, because it's been such a long time. But if I know that, you know, almost half of Aussies are doing it, then maybe it's not so bad after all.
Where are you headed to?
I'm going to Vietnam, which I'm so excited about. I haven't been there before.
Excellent. My partner is there at the moment right now, actually. So I've been getting lots of great updates, and it looks like a fabulous country to go and visit. So I'm very excited for you.
Well, I plan to come back having eaten lots of food. So that's my goal, is to go there and just eat.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, but I would say some sense of apprehension is pretty common amongst solo travelers. So I would say probably the top three things that people are kind of concerned about when it comes to solo travel is safety is definitely a top concern, as is just the costs of traveling alone, because you can get dinged as a solo traveler. And then I would say the last category is dining out alone. People are pretty nervous to go and sit down for a meal by themselves.
It's true. But you know what? I find that I don't mind when I'm traveling, if I am traveling by myself, eating by myself. I feel like that opens you up to meeting lots of people as well. Whereas if you tend to avoid it, you miss that chance. What do you reckon?
I am in total agreement. I actually love going out for a meal by myself, but I do distinctly remember the first time I ever did it. And I think it can be really overwhelming for people who've never done it before. I do remember having this feeling that everybody was staring at me. And of course, now I know that wasn't true. Like nobody cares, right?
No one notices.
But research shows, there is one group of people who does notice, and that is research shows the wait staff at restaurants do notice when you're eating alone. So that's often why they'll put you up at the bar. It is partially just for seating arrangements so that they can fit more people into a restaurant, but it's also partially the default position for solo diners, because there's the sense that allows solo travelers to kind of save face by having somebody to interact with.
Oh no, I want to be in the middle of the restaurant at the table by myself. So that people
I'm the same
me.
Way.
Jess, who is doing the solo travel? Do we have any age groups or demographics?
Yeah, so generally speaking, it's being led by women. It's a lot of women who are ages, 45 plus. And we're finding with that trend, there's a lot of men who are doing it as well, but it tends to be people who are that 45 plus age group. It is people who are widows or widowers, or they might be divorced, or they might even have a partner who just isn't interested in traveling or traveling the same way that they want to travel.
Let's talk about staying safe while you travel on your own. You mentioned a lot of people are apprehensive about it. How can we overcome that? What are some steps that we can take to make sure that our solo traveling experience is a good one?
Yeah, I think the number one thing to always keep in mind is that sometimes when you're in a new place, regardless of whether you're traveling with other people or alone, there's a sense of discomfort. There's discomfort in the unknown, but discomfort isn't necessarily the same thing as fear or being unsafe. So I think that that's something that's really important to mention, that, should underpin any of your interactions with another country. It's just because something's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's unsafe. But there's lots of ways that you can also use technology to your advantage. I've interviewed tons of solo travel experts on this topic, and some of the things that they share are things like ride-sharing apps rather than flagging a taxi. And the reason being is that you can share your location through a ride-sharing app with a family or friend. You can track where the taxi's going to make sure that it's taking you to where you want it to take it to. Other things include, using a mapping device to find your way around, like using Google Maps and then plugging in headphones. And then you can plug in the directions so that they're read out loud to you as you walk, so that you're not just standing there looking like a tourist holding a map, yes, which makes you a target.
That's a great idea. So put the headphones in, yeah, and then when it says turn right in 100 meters, there's not someone following you going, I'll be around the corner waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think, and it just gives you that sense that you know where you're going. You're not making yourself identifiably somebody who is traveling alone or who is a tourist in that place, but also gets you safely to your destination.
Speaking of destinations, are there any destinations that are, I suppose, ranked highly for safety for solo travelers more than others?
Yeah, you bet. Maybe not necessarily for safety, but I would say they're destinations that are quite popular with solo travelers. Uh-huh. Generally speaking, what I suggest to people if they're thinking about doing a solo trip for their first time is try someplace that's close to home. Like, you don't need to go overseas. Try someplace that's just down the road. Try it out for a weekend. See if you like it, and you can go from there. And then secondly, it helps if you're going for the first time to choose an English-speaking country, because, you know, when things are lost in communication, that can make things seem a bit scary at times. Mm. Some of the populations that rank most highly, though, are Croatia, Japan, New Zealand, and Singapore. So solo travelers always report that these are great destinations to go to.
And safe ones to start with. Jess, what about, we mentioned costs before. Can you be penalized if you are traveling by yourself?
Yes. So there's something called the solo supplement.
And I knew that'd get us.
It's so unfortunate. So we have a book actually called The Solo Travel Handbook, and we get into that in more detail in that book. But basically what a solo supplement is it's a surcharge, which can be as high as 100%, which is charged to you when you're just one person occupying a room that is able to accommodate two people. So basically you end up paying for your invisible companion is the way that we phrase it in the book. But the good news is because, again, solo travel isn't just a trend, it is a whole category of travel that's here to stay. There are a lot of companies that are doing away with the solo supplement or drastically reducing it at the moment. We're also seeing a lot of change in, you know, for instance, cruise ships who are building new cabins that are designed to only accommodate one traveler.
So if this solo supplement, I don't like the sound of it, I mean, is it better off when you're booking to book for two people and you just turn up by one, or would they notice that?
Well, that's essentially what happens, is that you're getting charged for two people,
so it doesn't
even though you're only one person. Yeah. Oh. So what I would suggest doing to avoid the solo supplement, and the solo supplement where it comes into play is things like cruise holidays, group travel packages, holiday packages, that sort of thing. But there are a couple kind of hacks that you can get around it. Our solo travel experts always recommend booking late. And the reason why is because companies are already, like, those rooms exist. They've already blocked out those rooms, say, for a group tour. So they still need to sell those rooms. So if they have rooms or seats that they need to sell last minute, they may be willing to sell them to a solo traveler at a heavily discounted rate. So that's a really great option. I would suggest calling the company because there might be room for negotiation based on the number of seats that they have available or that are left that they're trying to sell off. You can sign up for company's e-newsletter list because they'll often send out a shout out if they've got an empty seat that they're trying to fill and that they're willing to sell to a solo traveler for, you know, half the price. And there's also a number of websites that list these deals going out specifically to solo travelers. One of them is a website called Journey Woman, which is a leading travel website for solo travel. And they have a regularly updated directory of solo travel deals. And they're not exclusive to women.
Jess, what happens if you go solo traveling? You love it. And then how do you say to your friends later on when they say, oh, we'll come with you, or hey, we're going on a group holiday, but you really want to go on your own? What do you do? Because once you've got the bug, that's it.
It's kind of true. You know, I love solo traveling. I do so much. I would say I do most of my travel solo or with my partner. But you know something? I think I recently rediscovered the joy of traveling with other people as well. I went on a holiday with three of my friends and just had the best time ever. And I think it's good to kind of have that mix of different travel experiences, whether that is taking a solo holiday or traveling, you know, in a group tour or going with friends or family. I think it's a great way to not only reconnect with your loved ones, but also just to reconnect with yourself.
But you get to do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about.
I know. That's the best part. I think that's the best part about solo travel is that, like, your itinerary is your own. You can do what you want to do on your budget, on your timeline. You don't have to compromise anything. So you can eat all the food you want in Vietnam.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Jess, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That is Jess Lockhart from Lonely Planet. There you go. Now you know how to make solo traveling safe.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.